Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Mr. Wonderful, at your service. As always, glad to have you back, and a little bit of Lynyrd Skynyrd to bring us back there. 34 after, did I say that? Well, it is. You're going to be glad you hung out with us and you tuned in, because our good buddy Mike Menzies is back, the resident banker of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust, now in his 10th year as a member of our Brain Trust. This October we'll celebrate that 10th anniversary, and that's the kind of dedication that, folks, you've come to know and appreciate from our Brain Trust members, like Bill Hubbard, who was just on the show. We just celebrated his 10th anniversary as a member of our Brain Trust. Mike's in his 10th year, and these are folks, you know, if nothing else, if you get nothing else out of my show, you should know that there are people out there who really do care about you, and who really want to try to contribute something to your success. And my Brain Trust members are wonderful examples of that. And Mike's on the top of our list around here. He's president and CEO of Easton Bank and Trust, chairman-elect of the ICBA, the Independent Community Bankers Association of America, and our good friend. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, James. Really great to be with you, and it's great to have an advocate, and that's what you are, and that's what we need in these times for all small business, is an advocate.
Well, I appreciate that. Mike, you're such a utility infielder for us, for the things that you know, your connections, the positions that you hold in very important organizations like the Independent Community Bankers Association, which I feel is a wonderful rubber meets the road group of people, and all the members and everything, and all the things that you do. You're out there in small town America helping small business owners, and besides that, you're a smart guy. Give us a little tour of the U.S. economy according to Mike Menzies.
Jim, you know, remember, my perspective is an ICBA, Independent Community Bankers of America perspective, which is a Main Street perspective,
right?
Not a Wall Street perspective.
Thank you.
And I first want to make that difference. So whatever I say, it really comes from Community Banking America, not from downtown Miami or downtown Wall Street.
Right.
With that said, also recall that we have something like 8,700 banks in this nation, and the top 300 or so banks, in fact, control about 86% of all the assets in the entire industry.
Say that again.
Roughly 304, 310 banks have control of about 86% of the $12 trillion of assets in this industry. And the other 8,000 or so banks have about 14% of the assets of the industry.
Like Easton Bank and Trust.
Like Easton Bank.
You guys got about half of that other 14, right?
Yeah, I can't do the math. But therein describes some of the difficulty, in that the challenges we face, in fact, come out of Wall Street, and they come out of excesses. And it's not as if we haven't been
so
here
are
before.
You say, pardon me, Mike, so pardon mm-hmm. me, Mike. Are you saying that that much of the challenges we have right now have been visited on us by Wall Street, and now Main Street has to live with it?
Yes and no. Yes, that many of the challenges
that's what I've been saying, yeah. Mike.
Many of the challenges we have are the product of Wall Street, the product of excesses, excess liquidity, excess development, housing excesses in terms of products. And we're living through that today. And while the community banks didn't create this challenge, some refer to it as a train wreck, the community banks will be influenced to the extent that the markets which they bank are influenced. And those markets will soften where there are the greatest excesses. That includes places like Miami and San Diego and Las Vegas and a few other communities around the nation that are just extremely overdeveloped.
Yeah.
But with that said, the community banking industry has never been better managed, better capitalized, better regulated, and better governed. And they're a strong, strong industry. And
small business
better than most.
I don't even want to think. And folks, I mean this. I've never said anything more sincerely to you than what I'm about to say to you right now. I don't even want to imagine what small business owners would be doing right now if it weren't for independent community banks.
Well, we're on the same page, and I've been addicted to this industry for some 30 years, and understand that community banks are first about community.
Yeah.
Because if a community succeeds, a community bank is successful. And if a community fails, a community bank fails.
Hold on to that thought, Mike. And folks, you know that if it weren't for an independent community bank, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. 22, stay with us. Welcome back. It's 17 till. A little ZZ Top coming back there. Billy, Dusty, and Frank. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Mike Menzies, President of Eastern Bank and Trust, the Vice Chairman of the ICBA, about to become the Chairman-Elect, meaning second in line. And a year from now, about approximately a year from now, Mike, you will become the chairman, which is a volunteer position for the independent community bankers, right?
That's exactly right. I get all the free airline food you can want.
So, folks, when you hear me say no chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate show, only the best for my audience, now you know what I'm talking about. We continue to deliver on that promise by introducing you to guys like Mike. Mike, let's talk a little bit more about the economy. One of the things I noted about, and I want to repeat something that I said as we went to the break, so people don't think that I just said that in passing. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not doing business, if you have a small business, I don't care if you're home-based or if you have 100 employees or 200 employees, anywhere in between. If you're in that category and you don't have a relationship with an independent community bank, I think that is a strategic error. And I'm telling you, Mike, and you heard me say it before, I've told my banker this, I've said it 1,000 times, if it weren't for an independent community bank, I wouldn't be here with you. They believed in me, Mike, when I'm not even sure I believed in myself. I mean, there were times that you've heard the old story about the two footprints and one footprint and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
There were times when my banker was kind of like, it was kind of like that. And I'll tell you, I just don't think I would have gotten that kind of help from anybody else.
Well, I'm flattered to hear that, Jim. You know that we believe in the community and Main Street, and that's what it's all about, and that's why it's fun. Absolutely.
But you said something a minute ago about, you talked about Vegas and San Diego and Miami and all that kind of stuff. You know, when everybody was talking about the housing bubble, nobody was talking about the mortgage bubble. They were only talking about the housing bubble. And so I said, we don't have a national housing bubble because of the big bubbles are in those cities that you're talking about. They're not in flyover America. But now that we have a global credit crisis, it's created a little bit of a national, or at least somewhat of a national, housing bubble, hasn't it?
Well, I don't profess to be an expert in residential real estate. What we see is a classic cycle to excesses. So we had excessive liquidity going into housing during the first 6 years of this decade. That produced a lot of housing. That produced more inventory than we needed, and we're trying to scrub that through.
Too easy credit.
Right, too easy credit. Now, the credit crunch, in part, was a product of the fact that we had exotic new Wall Street products called CDOs and SIVs and
which
CLOs. And CDOs are collateralized debt obligations. SIVs are structured investment vehicles. And what they were ways for Wall Street to get Moody's and Finch and Standard & Poor's to offer credit ratings on mortgages, bundle them up into these entities, and then sell them off to investors.
Right.
And that is all unwinding, and that has...
And the value of all those securities was the relative market value of the houses that underlied the mortgages?
Well, the value of these securities is really hard to determine because the problem is that they were funded with short-term borrowings and they were long-term assets,
right.
And there's no liquidity. So value mm-hmm. is a function of who's willing to buy it. But the issue is that contributed to the almost $100 billion losses we had on Wall Street and in New York and with the big banks and the big brokerage houses. And I think the point I want to make, Jim,
but those losses, pardon me, Mike, those mm-hmm. losses were having to revalue the underlying assets of these securities.
Right. Exactly. They had to do with revaluing the securities. And
So what they had, folks, was they had, you know, 1,000 houses that should have had, where they should have had, you know, been worth $400,000, and they had to readjust those to now those 1,000 houses are only worth $275,000. Right?
That's partially right in that there was a fear that the houses were not worth the mortgages that were against the houses, but the real issue had to do with the security itself and with the mortgage loans that backed up that security and whether
right.
those mortgage loans are going to perform when rates adjust and when housing values are falling and when defaults are increasing and that sort of thing.
So now we've got we're left with these houses that really aren't worth what we thought they were. And we don't have the mortgage the full throated mortgage industry that we had a few years ago, and so now we've fallen on a little bit of hard times, haven't we?
Yes, but understand that the credit crunch that all have been referring to has not been the community bank's ability to gather deposits in their market
right.
and make loans to small business and continue to make mortgage loans, because community banks are still doing that actively. We're making mortgage loans. We had our best mortgage loan month in about 7 months, just last month.
But are you upstreaming those mortgages, or are you keeping those mortgages in-house?
Both. We're keeping some in-house.
You still are able to upstream mortgages?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are doing Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac qualified mortgages.
In fact, it's even better. The Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac thing has gotten even better, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
Because of the new standards.
Fannie and Freddie have had great underwriting standards. They have always been a quality underwriting program with 20% down and decent credit scores and an ability to repay. And community banks are still doing that like there's no tomorrow.
And still making money available to small business owners who have a good plan.
Absolutely.
Hold on to that thought. That's where we're going when we come back, folks. You've been hearing me say this now for 2 or 3 months. I've been telling you about this. Now we have our sage, our oracle, our banking oracle, Mike Menzies is here, and he's going to give us the rest of this wisdom right after these messages. Tim Till, stay with us.
Driving.
Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. A little bit of heart coming back for you there. Ann and Nancy. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. Lots of good stuff there. Nothing there is going to cost you anything unless you decide to buy a book. We're going to charge you for that. The Oracle of Easton is with us, ladies and gentlemen. That's his new title now. I've anointed him as the Oracle of Easton. Mike Menzies, the president of Easton Bank and Trust in Easton, Maryland, where the crabs are the best in the world, and the banking advice is primo. Mike, talk to us, oh great one.
Well, we have an IPO coming out called Blasingame Hathaway Menzies.
There you go.
I hope you don't have more than 13 listeners because we just violated some law.
I think we violated Reg D and everything else.
But listen, I want to make a point along the lines of while I have been extremely positive about the fact that community banks are lending. In reality, we are going through a macro credit crunch, and in the case of community banks, we will react to the regulatory world, which appropriately is cracking down on commercial real estate loans, mm-hmm. CRE it's called. So if you just think through the cycle quickly, the politicians bring in the regulators and they kick them in public saying, how could you let this happen? And the regulators go to the banks and
kick them.
And they kick the banks saying, what are you doing? And it's not, I'm not saying that that's inappropriate, that's just the way the cycle works. Mm-hmm. So small
So are you saying that is that a way of saying that our banks it's not going to be our banks' decision if things tighten up a little bit on Main Street, it's going to be the regulators' reaction to the government?
We're going through that right this minute. I mean, the regulators across the board are tightening up because they're worried about as they should be. That's their job. It's
right.
To worry about the safety and the soundness of the banking
system.
So
expect more scrutiny of everything.
Absolutely.
You do, even if you've got a good relationship with your banker, even if they love you and you love them and you've never missed a payment, expect more scrutiny.
Absolutely. I think that if you want to be kind to your banker, then be ahead of the curve with respect to disclosures, be ahead of the curve with respect to getting in financial information and keeping them up to
speed. And whatever
they
ask you for, give it to them as quickly as you can and as completely as you can.
Yeah. And,
because you know, they're not asking you just for busy work. They need it.
As the CEO of any business knows, the worst thing in the world is a surprise. And when there's an issue and you approach your banker and you deliver that issue to your banker, they're forced to become a partner in the resolution of the issue.
Yeah.
And if they're surprised, then there's a problem. So
surprised bankers are scared bankers, and nobody ever got any help out of a scared banker.
That's exactly right. So, but anyhow, we are in a regulatory tightening, which is not inappropriate. We're hoping that the regulations that are promulgated over the next year or two don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, meaning
right.
Don't throw
shut
the community banks out.
Yeah. Don't shut us down.
Because we are, in fact, out there lending on mortgages, on small businesses. We're growing our communities, and it's
a
healthy industry.
But see, this is a time, if the economy has got pockets of challenges, Mike, this is the time when we need our independent community bank. We need our bankers.
Absolutely.
We don't need. I mean, obviously, we don't need to be borrowing money willy nilly like what has been going on. But we need our bankers to be working with us.
That's true. And remember that the borrowing willy nilly came from Wall Street products,
yep.
Which were mostly residential products that were nothing down. No asset, no income, no job type products that created this subprime problem, and that was not a community banking initiative.
That's right.
We were not in that play.
Are community banks going to be losing? Are they losing revenue on mortgages that they their mortgage? I know every community bank has a mortgage firm, their own mortgage company. Are those mortgage companies? Is the revenue and profits off on those right now?
Well, we have a secondary market mortgage business, and we are doing quite nicely with that business.
Yeah.
We have three ladies who process secondary market mortgages, and they eat what they kill, meaning mm-hmm. they live based upon their production.
Yeah.
That keeps them clean.
And they're still able to place those kind of mortgages then.
Absolutely.
That's
through
great.
Fannie
that's
and
good.
Freddie,
that's
there's
news.
No question about
that's
it.
Good
and
news.
They've just
Mike,
increase the jumbo limits.
I've got to wrap it up. Give us your website. Give us the Easton Bank and Trust.
Oh, there you go. www.eastonbankandtrust.com.
Yeah, it's a good one too, folks. I got to tell you about that one for sure. Hey, Mike, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thanks, Jim.
We'll see you next time. The
Take
Oracle
care.
Of Easton, ladies and gentlemen, Mike Menzies. He'll be back, I promise. I will be too, but it'll be the next hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. This program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.